Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Welcome. Welcome back. You've got Doc Holliday here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And we're glad to have you. New listeners, welcome. Have you been watching the Olympics? Wow. Olympics happen every 4 years, just like what else? The American presidential election always happens every 4 years. And guess what? They say Americans really don't care about what's going on in the politics until after the election. You know that's not true, but that's what they say. And I'm going to tell you, in today's show, we have an Olympic size show. Exciting. Let me just tell you quick things to listen for. Number one, on the election news update, we got some things that you need to know about polls and what some of the numbers are doing, way they're squeaking around with the numbers and manipulating the numbers. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about, have you eaten any chicken lately? Like those cows from Chick-fil-A saying, eat more chicken. Well, last week there was a lot of chicken eating going on. We're going to talk about that. And then we got a good friend we've had on our show before. I was riding down the road listening to Rush Limbaugh's show, and lo and behold, I heard our good friend using his sound bites on the Rush Limbaugh show. So Reverend William Owens making national news. Some of you have seen him on video and seen and heard him. So we're going to play a clip from Reverend William Owens, an African-American leader of many African-American pastors. And he is disappointed in our president's stand on gay marriage. So we're going to get a sound bite from him coming up. And we got an interview with, I told you last week, those who listened, with K. Carl Smith. K. Carl Smith is going to tell us what it means to be a Frederick Douglass Republican. So what does he mean by that? We're going to find out. And before we do, we're going to give you a little bit of music coming up here. It's an Olympic-sized show. Before we dive in, let's get fired up. Wow, Olympics, presidential politics, happens every 4 years. It's a good feeling to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. So much going on, and we're going to dive right in. You with us? Okay, we're going to talk about the election news update right now, and we're going to tell you about the CBS New York Times poll came out last week about three swing states, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, and guess what? They said Obama is gaining on Romney. So what gives? You heard me last month say, look at the polls. You'll see Romney slowly moving up, getting up even. And that's what he's done. I tell you what's happened. It's been embarrassing to the Obama team because they spent over $100 million trying to knock down Romney, and they haven't done it. So what happens? They go out and get a poll. Let's see. The New York Times and CBS, do you think they can give an unbiased poll? Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. When they're polled, they give their way they do the poll. They don't care about the way they manipulate numbers. They want to get something to show that Obama is not slipping and Obama is strong and his smart campaign team is doing something that's working. They could not let people go on and say that the Obama re-election team is wasting money, $100 million, and hadn't made a dent in Romney, and Romney's coming ahead. So they were embarrassed. They had to do something. So what they did, they went out here and did their polling, and there's all kind of ways. I can tell you how to manipulate the numbers, but let me just go real. This is what they said. And go back to 2008 exit polls. The Democrats said they had 37%. 2010 exit polls, Democrats said it had 36%. And then, so they did 36% of the Democrats when they did their polling. Republicans, 2008, 34%. 2010, 36%. Guess what? They interviewed 27%. So you see, the poll is skewed. Independents, about the same way. They didn't put as many. They had 29% in 2008 exits, 29% in 2010 exits. So they give 32% to the independents. So there's a big variation in the polling, but they had to do it because they had to come out of a poll showing that Obama is okay. Not only okay, he's gaining ground and he's moving ahead of Romney. That's what they want to believe. They're propping up this president. We're going to talk about that as we move on in this show. But I'm telling you, I told you that we would watch Romney slowly overtake Obama, and this team, this re-election team for Barack Obama, has got help from the mainstream media. Believe that? Do you watch the biased news? Do you see the way they handle things? Do you see the softball questions? Anything about Obama or his administration, softball? How often do you hear about Fast and Furious and Eric Holder and all the missteps that he has made? And you don't hear them on the mainstream media. They are doing everything to prop up this president's administration. They want 4 more years, and I'm telling you, the American people are sick and tired of it. How can I tell you that? Let's go to election news update, story number 2. Last week, for those who don't understand, there's a man named Truett Cathy, and he's been a long-time fast food provider, but he makes no qualms about it. He's a Christian, and he likes conservative things, and he said he was in an interview. He said, look, if you accuse me of believing that marriage should be between a man and a woman, one man, one woman, then I'm guilty. That's what I believe. And the media went all out on to get this guy. And he happens to own Chick-fil-A. Now, some of you may not have a Chick-fil-A in your town or in your city. They're predominantly in the Southeast, but they're around the country. But guess what? Because he expressed his opinion with freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the First Amendment. And guess what? We had mayors in Chicago, mayor in Boston, and a mayor in San Francisco saying, we don't want you in our city. We're going to block your restaurant chain from trying to come into our city. And that happened, folks. And I'm going to tell you more on that on the Tombstone of the Week Award, which goes to the mayor of Boston. And you won't believe what he said and had the audacity to say it, where they had the Freedom Trail that you can walk in Boston. And I'm going to talk about that so I don't get fired up. We'll wait to the end of the show and I'll tell you about the Freedom Trail and what the Boston mayor said. But let me go on with this story about Chick-fil-A. Well, guess what? Former governor of Arkansas, former presidential candidate, Mike Huckabee, on his show on Fox News, he said, we need to support this man. He said, let's go out and eat at Chick-fil-A. And he said, August 1st will be this Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And guess what? Man, I know my family went to eat some chicken Chick-fil-A, and there was a line. I've never seen such a line at a fast food restaurant, stretched out, and it was over 90 degrees, 95, 96 degrees, and people were standing outside, not leaving because they wanted to buy some chicken and appreciate somebody who would take a stand for the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And that's exactly what happened on August 1st. It didn't happen just in one or two cities. All around the country, there's people who would go in and buy Chick-fil-A for their whole office staff and take it back, because they wanted everybody in the Chick-fil-A organization to know that they were supporting them. Now, it was actually something equivalent to, in my mind, The American people are saying we're fed up with things. We don't like the direction this country is taking, and we want to do something. So all of a sudden they said, we can go eat chicken at Chick-fil-A. Now, who would have thought that 2 or 3 weeks ago that Chick-fil-A would have a big pivotal part in Americans saying, we're mad as heck, we're not going to take it anymore, we're going to go eat some chicken at Chick-fil-A. They were restaurants, fast food restaurants, and I call the names across the countries. It might have been a Wendy's or other places. And on their signs, they said, today we support Chick-fil-A. Go eat at Chick-fil-A. Can you believe it? That shows you the American spirit. And when bullies come out, people say we don't like the bullies. Like the mayor of Boston, the mayor of Chicago, and the mayor of San Francisco, and all these people on the city council in different places who said they would keep that restaurant from getting a permit to work just because a CEO had the audacity to speak with freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And then we have a president in the White House who says, who wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. You are mistaken, Mr. President. The audacity of hope is for someone who'll stand up for the freedom of speech in this country and not back down to the bullies who are in the mayor's office in Chicago, in Boston, in San Francisco, and other places in this country. And that's the election news update part two. Now, continuing on that story, and I could give you more. I can tell you I could give you more. But there's a tie into this story. There is a pastor that is Reverend William Owens, and he's been involved with the Church of God in Christ, which is one of the largest African-American churches in the world. And I think they have over like 5 million members around the world. And they have, I think it's 4 or 5 million in the United States and about 8 million in the world. And it was started many years ago. And you hear about the Assemblies of God. Actually, the Church of God in Christ was started after a big revival. Christians know about it. Started in Los Angeles, called Azusa Street Revival. And this church started, and it was black and white beginning, but because of segregation, the church, the bishop who started it, Bishop Charles Mason, he was ordaining white pastors, but some of them, because of segregation at the time in the South, they said, we need to have our own organization. So they ended up, Assemblies of God broke off from that. And in the recent histories, they've come back together and worked together on some things. But I'm telling you, that is a strong church. Started out about just a little over 100 years ago and now got several of 4 or 5 million members here in the United States. And Reverend William Owens is in that denomination. He's not representing that denomination. He's representing what he calls the Coalition of African American Pastors. And they have over 3,000 pastors, is what he told me. And what he said is that he is fed up with President Barack Obama's stand on gay marriage. And they, in fact, they wrote the president back when he first made his stand, wanting to have a meeting with him and just share in private their concerns. And they've wrote one to Eric Holder, and they hadn't heard anything from the White House or the Attorney General. And so he made a press release. We made it at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. last week. And he really lambasted the president and for not talking with him, and had a lot of things to say. But let's play one clip right here.
White House because of the civil rights movement, and I was a leader in that movement, and I didn't march 1 inch, 1 foot, 1 yard for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. So the president has forgotten the price that was paid, where people died, where they suffered, where they gave their blood to have equal rights in the United States. And for the homosexual community and for the president to bow to the money, as Judas did with Jesus Christ, is a disgrace, and we're ashamed. We will not take it back. We will not back down, that we are going to take action across this country to change the course that this president is carrying us.
Wow, you heard it right there. Reverend William Owens, and I've talked to him just recently, and he said he was not going to back down. And he said he would, if need be, he would give his life for this cause. And I mean, he's fired up about it. And he has got other African-American pastors fired up about this position the president has taken. Now, you say, well, there's a lot of other things than just gay marriage. You shouldn't concern yourself with just one issue. But I'm telling you, Reverend William Owens really feels like the black church is the conscience of America. And he says, he told me, if the black church loses its moral stand, then they will have lost their ability to be the moral conscience of America. Go back to the 1964 I Have a Dream speech. That Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was introduced as the moral leader of our nation. And people respected that because they knew it was true that he had a moral character about him standing on truth. And Reverend Owens is saying that if President Obama is allowed to win re-election and push gay marriage, and the black church does not make a stand against that which they feel is wrong and is not biblically correct, then the black church will lose its authority to stand up and say, we are the moral conscience of America. And that's powerful. And that's what Reverend Owens is talking about. And that's why he said his group is going to take a leading role in trying to get the president to change his mind. And if he doesn't, they're going to ask the African-American pastors to lead their flocks into saying this is wrong and we cannot stand with a president who does not understand what's at stake. The American family is at stake. And the family goes, this is Reverend Owens' words talking to me, he says, if the family goes, the nation will go. And that's the way, that's why he feels so fired up. And you can listen to the whole interview on C-SPAN, about 30-minute interview. So check out. You can go to put it on C-SPAN and Google it and hear Reverend William Owens. And he had several other pastors with him that day. And listen to what they had to say, because it's important for this election. And as I'm talking about the African-American pastors, the Coalition of African-American Pastors and Reverend William Owens, it's time to introduce you to our interview today with someone I've wanted to meet for many months now, and I've known of him for a couple years, and I got to meet him last month, and we've got an interview coming up with K. Carl Smith. He's an African-American from Alabama, and he's got a group called the Frederick Douglass Republicans. And before we talk to K. Carl, let me just remind you that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And I want to tell you, folks, we got some good friends. They're still working hard to become the official American Standard playing cards. And they believe the foundation of this nation is strong. And their mission is for America to have her own playing cards while sowing seeds of liberty. You can get yours today. You can learn more and go to my homepage. You look at my Doc Recommend section, or you can click on their ad, also found on my homepage. You'll be glad you did. And also, before we get right into the thick of this conversation with K. Carl Smith, let me remind you that you can check out my website, GetObamaOutNow.com, and you can get my book. It's about the election, comparing this election of America. We got a fork in the road. We can go to the left or to the right. It's like the Battle of Gettysburg. Get my book, find out more, and you'll be glad you did that too. All right, we got on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, K. Carl Smith, and formed a group, the Frederick Douglass Republicans, and welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, K. Carl.
Doc, thank you so much for the invitation to be on your show and appreciate the opportunity to share our Frederick Douglass' message.
Well, one of the things that I know about you, you said that you weren't really that involved in politics, and something happened. So tell us a little bit what got you involved in politics.
Oh, not at all. 4 years ago, I was not involved in politics. And then when I heard President Bush say on one occasion, he said he would have to forsake free market principles and use a little socialist principle in order to save the free market economy. And that kind of bewildered me, and realized that we have a situation on our hands, because what he basically did with that, he just opened the door for Obama to bring his socialist policies in, and it's been a problem ever since. So that kind of set me up in my chair, made me take notice. I had to do something, politically speaking. I had to get involved. I could no longer sit in front of the TV and complain, but get involved in the political process to save liberty for our children and our grandchildren.
And Kay Carl, give me a little bit on your background. I know you said you were actually born in Arkansas. Tell me how you got to Alabama.
Exactly right. Born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. My father was one of the first black engineers hired by NASA in the early 60s when they started the space flight program. So our family moved from Pine Bluff, Arkansas to Huntsville, Alabama, where Marshall Space Flight Center is located. And my father had a successful career there. He retired several years ago as a senior exec from NASA.
Wow, military background?
I'm a former military Army officer. I was commissioned through the ROTC program. I graduated from Alabama A&M University, which is a historical black college. I received my degree there and also see the commission to enter the United States Army as a second lieutenant. I completed my service obligation back in 1996 as a major.
Well, we commend you for your service and appreciate you and honor you for that. And now, one of the things I want to get to in this show is exactly what are you doing with the Frederick Douglass Republicans?
Well, I'm a former Army officer, former motivational speaker, turned political agitator now.
Agitator, huh?
I'm a political agitator, and that's a word I pull from, of course, from Frederick Douglass. My goal and my mission in life, my ministry basically is to save this republic, to save liberty, to save our God-given right for free will, and our God-given right for self-rule. So I started a group called Frederick Douglass Republicans and wrote a book of the same title. And what we're doing, we're using Frederick Douglass as the vehicle, if you will, to share the life-empowering message of the conservative philosophy to all Americans, especially minorities. And we're successful at it. You know, Frederick Douglass was the quintessential constitutional conservative. In other words, the values and the views of Frederick Douglass is identical to the Tea Party movement. Totally
wow.
Identical.
Now that's going to shock some people in the liberal media. You're saying Frederick Douglass' values are the same as the Tea Party's values.
Exactly. Respect for the Constitution, respect for life, the belief in limited government, and the belief in personal responsibility. The reason why Douglass escaped from slavery, he wanted personal responsibility. And
wow.
Douglass, in terms of financial stewardship, Douglass was a capitalist. That's probably going to get them upset, too. Douglass did not believe in the principle of socialism. Douglass was a capitalist. He owned two newspaper companies. When this man passed away in 1895, Douglass had amassed $300,000 in savings. Well, that's equivalent to $25 million today. He will have, if you look at the values and the views of Douglass and contrast that to President Obama, total opposite. As far as the North is from the South, totally different.
Well, tell me the difference. How did Frederick Douglass was the leading black voice of his age, of his life, and then how did the black voice go from Frederick Douglass to Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton?
Well, he's been erased from history, number one. He's not being taught to our children and to the younger generations. That's how they did it. They totally erased him from history. Frederick Douglass is the father of the civil rights movement. Dr. King got many of his ideas and strategies from the writings of Frederick Douglass. Because, Douglass was the advisor to five U.S. presidents to include Abraham Lincoln. And, of course, that was the initial step in terms of advocating the civil rights of black Americans through his encounter, his relationship with Abraham Lincoln. The Emancipation Proclamation, freeing 4 million blacks from slavery, and also allowing blacks to fight for their freedom by joining the Union Army. So Douglass started all this. So the way they totally can get away with what they're doing now because they don't teach Douglass. And there's a reason why they don't teach Douglass. Because Douglass respected the Constitution.
Well, and it seems like there's something in the, well, I know in the Old Testament, in the Bible, says, you know, when it says my people die for lack of knowledge, that sort of almost ring, is that ringing true in the African-American community today?
It definitely is, lack of knowledge, and also go on and say that the truth is what makes you free and will make you free. So this lack of truth regarding Frederick Douglass, this lack of understanding and this lack of knowledge is really what's getting keeping people in locked into a dependency upon the federal government versus Jehovah God. People are looking to the government as their source and not looking to God as their source. They're looking for somebody to give them a free check, but there's nothing free.
Okay, Carl, now you said you basically grew up a Democrat, were a Democrat, so now when did you switch from a Democrat to a Frederick Douglass Republican?
I grew up in a Democrat household. Politics was not normally something we discussed, but it was just understood. And through the NAACP, through the Democrat Party, and through my church, the liberal progressive point of view was always in my ear, and also through the news, it was always in my ear. I never heard the counter argument. I never heard or learned of the conservative point of view until I became an adult. So that's one of the challenges we face as conservatives, that we have to get in the trenches. We have to go where people are. We have to start engaging at the local level to counter the things that the younger generation are hearing. And so for me, the whole thing started, like I said, I got involved in politics 4 years ago, but up to that point, I had been a Republican. Okay. I was a black conservative. And what changed it for me 15 years ago, it was 2 Corinthians 13:5. That's the scripture that changed my spiritual and political life. If you read it in the Message translation, 2 Corinthians says, examine yourself to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't go along taking things for granted. So 15 years ago, I started examining the way I was voting. And when I did that, I realized that I was voting the totally opposite of my Christian beliefs. I don't believe in same-sex marriage, but I was voting for a party that has that as its political platform. I don't believe in abortion, but I was voting for a party that has that as its political platform. Those things I don't believe in, but I was voting that way. So when I started examining myself, started testing myself, I realized that God diagnosed me. Matter of fact, he told me I was a political schizophrenic.
Okay.
That's a person that worships one way and votes the totally opposite. So basically, through my vote, I was spitting in my God's face through my vote. And he put me in check on that.
So you call that a political schizophrenic?
That's a political schizophrenic. I was politically crazy. I was crazy.
And so now give me that definition again. What were you doing?
A political schizophrenic is a person that goes to church and raises holy hands, praise the Lord on Sundays, but when voting time comes around, they go to the booth and pull the lever for candidates that represent a party that's the totally opposite of what they believe. So basically what I was doing, I was actually spitting in my God's face. I was praising him on Sunday with my holy hands, and those same holy hands, I was putting on a lever for a candidate that wants to take, for example, God's divine definition of marriage and change it from one man, one woman, to whatever they want to change it to.
Well, now, okay, Carl, and you told us about your revelation, and now you're a Frederick Douglass Republican. But now you're, I think 95% of the black population voted for Barack Obama last time around. And so how do you get into churches? How do you get into, you know, large groups of African Americans? Do you get in front of large groups and tell the values of Frederick Douglass capitalism and political schizophrenic? Or are you just having to work on one-on-one?
It's all of that. It requires local level engagement. It requires talking to your friends, your family members, and your fellow citizens. So it does involve one-on-one, one-on-three, one-on-ten, and also one-on-300.
Okay.
So,
and that was K. Carl Smith, Frederick Douglass Republican, and a great couple of nuggets I got from today's show, but I got to tell you, we're going to do the finishing part of his interview next week when he's going to tell you how to use the word conservative in minority communities. But a couple of great nuggets from today's show. Let me tell you, number one, political schizophrenic. Do you know any of those? He told us the African-American church is full of political schizophrenics. and he told us what it was, but he also said that the Frederick Douglass, the studying the life and times of Frederick Douglass, will make you a Frederick Douglass Republican, and it will move you into a conversation with all people, no matter where they come from, what political stance they take. So great nuggets from K. Carl Smith. I got the website there. You can check on the homepage and check out the Frederick Douglass Republicans website. We got to move on because I got a great Tombstone of the Week award. So let's get to it. And this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week award goes to the Boston mayor, Thomas Menino. He wrote in a letter to Truett Cathy, the president of Chick-fil-A, and he said, quote, "There." This is the Boston mayor's words, quote, "There is no place for discrimination on Boston's Freedom Trail and no place for your company alongside it," unquote. "I want to throw my chair through the window and cry out, what is this mayor thinking? Right there where Freedom's Trail is. And I have walked every foot of that, and I've walked it twice in one day because it meant so much to me to see where our freedom was born and where people would stand up for liberty, for freedom of speech, for freedom of religion. Right there where Sam Adams risked his life time after time, where his body is buried there in the graveyard, right there in the city of Boston. And I'm telling you, what would Sam Adams say to a Boston mayor who wouldn't let someone who believed in his Christian principles, because he believed in Christian principles, he said, you can't have a business here in Boston. That's not freedom of speech. That's not freedom of religion. And I'm telling you, as you walk every step and you see all the great orators from Daniel Webster, Paul Revere's home, where Paul Revere, you can cross the bridge over the Charles River and you can see right the spot where he took his horse on a midnight ride and told everybody, the British are coming. The British are coming. So much freedom wrapped up in Boston, and you got a mayor in 2012 that says, we don't want your business. You cannot put a business in our city because of your beliefs, because we don't want you to have freedom of speech. We don't want you to have freedom of religion. What kind of Boston are we talking about? Where is freedom? Where is tolerance? And I'm telling you, when people in this country, when mayors stand up and say, we don't want you in our city because of your beliefs, because of the way you worship, because of the way you believe and you want to speak, you cannot speak your words in our city. When we have mayors like that, we have mayors who need to be defeated. We have people in this land who are worshiping at the feet of an idol that says, we will control you. And that's what the liberals are doing. They don't want to hear any kind of speech they don't want to hear. They're not for diversity. They're not for tolerance. They're for strangling freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And it's got to stop. Get ready for November 6th. That's all we got time for in this show. Be here next week. We'll have Congressman, United States Congressman Alan Nunley. We'll have a second part of the K. Carl Frederick Douglass interview. And you need to remember the most important four words in 2012 for every American: GetObamaOutNow.com. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.